Hey, good evening. Turn with me to Colossians. Let's go ahead and continue our study in this great letter. Colossians, and we left off in verse number 3. Before we get to what we're going to discuss tonight, give a little review of what we've studied from last week and a week prior to that. We're in chapter 3, and chapter 3, as we've stated several times, is the practical application of this letter, meaning it's telling us how we ought to live. In the previous chapters, chapter 1, Paul makes a case for Christ. Chapter 2, he makes the defense for Christ. And then in chapter 3, he tells us how to live our lives, right? And he starts off in chapter 3 by giving what I call some identifying markers as to if you are one who has been risen with Christ, this is the way that your life should look like. This is the way you should conduct yourself. This is the way we are supposed to carry ourselves out in the world. He first tells us that in verse number 1 that we are to keep our eyes on Christ, who's sitting above and in the right hand of God, meaning that we need to be focused on Christ and on spiritual things, not physical things. Then he also tells us about our affections, right? That our mindset should be always spiritual and not physical. In verse number 3, he tells us that our lives are hidden with Christ, that we have security, that our minds should be secure to know that if we indeed are following Christ and doing the things and walking as we should, right, that we should have security in Christ. And then in verse number, at the end of verse number 4, he gets to the crux of our Christian life as to what we all are after, right? We're all after that inheritance, right? In verse number 4, he tells us that our inheritance is glorification. Everyone in this room, if you're a Christian, you should all be looking forward to the day that you will be glorified. That is our whole goal. That is our inheritance. That is something that we all need to be looking for. Then Paul gets into more detail as to what it looks like to be a Christian, right? In verse number 5, he tells us to mortify, right? To put to death, right? Some of these things that we're going to be talking about tonight, and we talked about last week as well. He talks about put to death, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, I gave an illustration last week as to someone who is getting their house remodeled or getting things fixed in their house. And the first thing you do if you're going to remodel a house, you need to tear down the old, right? You need to get rid of the old things, right? If you're going to be replacing the floors, right, you need to get up all of the old flooring and things of that nature before you put something new on that. And it's the same with our Christian life. Paul is, again, telling us to put to death these things, that we need to get rid of these things, right? We need to get rid of these things out of our lives, right? We need to get rid of fornication. We need to get rid of uncleanliness, inordinate affection. We need to get rid of covetousness. Paul goes on and tells us in verse number 6 that these things will bring upon the wrath of God. So that's one main reason that we need to get these things out of our lives. And then he tells us, tells them that they used to do these things and they used to walk in them. And that applies to each and every Christian in this room, right? We all have felt victim to some of these sins. Maybe not this on this on the list that we just talked about in verse number 5, but maybe the ones we're going to talk about here in verse number 8, right? And this list is not a list that's something that, okay, these are the list of sins and it's like a checklist and to make sure that you're not doing these things. No, this list continues to go, right? All throughout the Bible, there's other lists of things that we need to also be mindful of and know, right, that we ought to be living right, and God gives us the direction to do so. Now, last week, we left off with some homework. right? We left off with some homework. I see some of your eyes like, okay, please don't call on me, right? Right? And you know, and blame Brother Obed for this because my homework was simple. But Brother Obed added in, and the homework was that how does verse number 5 and verse number 8 and 9, how does that relate to the Ten Commandments? How does those verses relate to the Ten Commandments? Okay. All right. She said, for those who didn't hear her, she said a lot of things that we are told not to do falls under the umbrella of the Ten Commandments. Anybody? Anybody want to take another stab at it? Brother Joe, you got anything for me? Brother Joe's like, not today, man. And any other time, Brother Joe be, ooh, me. Anybody else? Anybody want to take a stab at it? And I have to admit that I was a little bit thrown a little bit because I did my own study because Brother Obed kind of threw that homework on me as well. You know, so I had to do some study on that as well and ask him some questions about it to get some clarification. And I think we're both in agreements as to how Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, and Corinthians chapter 3, I mean, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, how they correlate with the Ten Commandments. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Since anybody want to take a stab before I click on my clicker? Okay, well, that's the same line what Stelora was saying in a way. Okay. Hey, brother, you got that look on your face like, I got the answer, brother. Don't worry about it. I got it. Go ahead. What you got? Okay, very specific. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get a little bit deeper into it, all right? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. Like he's all right there, right? Brother Bishop. Okay. By chance, do we follow the Ten Commandments? Huh? Wait, come on, man. Brother, I wanted them to answer, man. Do we follow the Ten Commandments? Okay, which one? Go ahead, sister, explain.
We don't follow
the Sabbath day. Okay, right. So basically, and that's a very good point, we do follow 9 of them, right? Besides, we don't remember the Sabbath day, right? Because if you look at it, this is another study you can do on your own, right? If you look at the Ten Commandments, you can find each one of those commandments in the New Testament, sprinkled out all throughout the New Testament. All right, except for keeping the Sabbath. All right, so that's just a little gee whiz for you, all right? So we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, so we got the first 4 commandments, right? First 4 of the Ten Commandments, all right? Everybody are very familiar with those. Can anybody tell me what those first 4, who is the first 4 directed towards? God, right? God, right? Keep that in mind. We see that the first 4 of the Ten Commandments is directed towards God, right? We should have no other gods, no graven image, don't take the Lord's name in vain, and also keeping the Sabbath. All 4 of those are directed towards our relationship with God. What about our 5 over here from Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5? They also shows our relationship with God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Brother Obed, can you do some reading for me? What I'm going to show you is that how these sins, right, are related to God and sins not only against ourselves, but sins against God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and Brother Obed, read verses 9 through 20 for me. Now, everybody are pretty familiar with some of these passages because we read them last week. But I want to make sure we get the proper context as we get towards the end of this chapter 6. Brother Obed, start at verse number 9 and continue to read, please.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Do not be deceived, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, stop right there. Some of those sound familiar? They sound familiar, right? Because a lot of them are covered right here. A lot of them come right here, but continue to go. We're going to get a little bit deeper in it.
And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
Okay, stop right there. What did Paul just say? Right? Read that, Brother Obed.
Foods for the stomach and for the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
Okay, continue to read.
And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and who were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So, think about that. Verse number five, these five things here are sins of the what? The flesh, the body. Whose body does it belong to? God, right? So you see that the first four over here are, again, sins against, or it shows our relationship or responsibility to God. It's the same with Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Those five over there, all right, relate to our relationship, right? Our responsibility to God. Our bodies, right? We need to make sure that they're holy, because guess what? They represent who? God. Who lives in us? That's right. God, right? The Holy Spirit, right? So when we sin against our flesh, right, guess what? We're damaging our relationship with God. And it's the same with the four over here. Those are directed towards our relationship with God. These over here are dealing with our relationship with God, right? Now, we're going to continue to go. Before we go on, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, because I think it's going to bring everything to a closer picture. Matthew chapter 22. And verse number 34. Matthew 22 and verse number 34. Now, if the first five, right, if the first four of the Ten Commandments was directed towards our relationship with God, what are the other six? What do you think they represent? Look at the other six Ten Commandments. What do they represent? There you go, right? It represents our relationship with God. Each other, right? So we see the first four Ten Commandments represent our relationship with God, right? And we saw how Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5 also shows that same thing. The last six of the Ten Commandments show our relationship with one another. And also, if you look at the last six here, right, when we talk about anger, wrath, malice, what does that deal with? Each other, how we treat each other. You see that? So we see that the first top four of the Ten Commandments and the five in Colossians is our responsibility or our relationship with God. And we see that the last ones are our relationship with each other. Now that brings us to Matthew chapter 22. And verse number 34. Now listen what Christ says. Christ is going to put everything in a nutshell right here. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 34. And through verse number 40. Brother Obey, read that for me, please.
But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Jesus just put it all in a nutshell, didn't he? He says, what is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? That we should do what? Love the Lord our God. Isn't that what our top four is talking about? And then Jesus said the second commandment is what? Love your neighbor. Isn't that dealing with the bottom six we were talking about? This is how Colossians chapter 3 in verse number 5 and also verse number 8 and 9 relates to the Ten Commandments. All right? Brother Obed, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, just a few. If you go to chapter 1 and verse 21, you see there where it says that we were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Usually we just read over it and say, okay, well, this is how we are enemies. No, notice the order. In your mind by your wicked words. It started in the mind, the inward, and it led toward the outer words. So another way you can see it is the first four are the inward man and the last six are outward man. Why is that important? Because it's not by accident that it's six, right? The number of man. And then, of course, four, relationship between creation and creator and the relationship between creation and creation.
Good point. Not only that, is that they actually affect each other, right? They affect each other, the inward towards the outward, right? So we see that when we talk about the Ten Commandments, and I don't know if those who ever studied the Ten Commandments, indeed the first five is dealing with our relationship with God, and the last six is dealing with our relationship with each other. That brings into mind what we just talked about in Matthew chapter 22, right? That is what Christ is referring to. Now you think about that. He just summed up everything in two verses, right? Two of the verses. Relationship with God, relationship with man. Who other relationship you going to have? The only other relationship you're going to have is with the devil, right? So he pretty much summed up everything as to what we ought to focus on, right? Everything hinges on these two, all right? So we see how Colossians chapter 3 and also the Ten Commandments kind of go together. Now, let's go ahead and continue on with our study. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start talking about some of these, right? And I have some of these scriptures already up there, right? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. It says, by now ye also put off all these. Now Paul is going to continue to give us a list. It says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Anger. Boy, that's a rough one there, right? Anger. You know, and I have to admit that's something that I deal with myself, right? My anger, right? So what is anger? It's an emotion. Good, right, that's right. It's an emotion, right? Is it okay to be angry? Yeah, it is, right? But there's a difference, right? There's a line that we should not cross, right? What is that line? Okay, well, where can we find that at? So you know? All right, no problem. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Good job, sister. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to say verse number 24, 25, 1 and 2. Chapter 4, and actually it's verse number, let's see here, 26. There we go. Yep, 26. And it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. One thing about anger, right? Anger is contagious, right? Anger is contagious. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 22, right? And also Matthew chapter 5 verses, 22 and following, right? He tells us about anger, right? Our anger, right? When it comes to our anger, that is it okay to be angry? Yes, it is, But when it comes to the point where we lose control, right, and we're angry with our brother for no reason, or we don't resolve the issue with our fellow brethren, that causes issues. Why? Because let me tell you how things happen when you're angry, right, and you're angry at your fellow brother and you keep it inside. The next thing you're going to do is probably tell somebody, right? And then that person, anger is contagious. That person may get angry, all right? And then that person tell another person, right? And before you know it, you will have a schism, right? Or you have a division within a congregation. I've seen it before, right? Where people are taking sides. And the thing is that people don't really know the truth of why y'all are mad at each other in the first place. So we see that when it comes to anger, anger is contagious, that we need to make sure that if it comes to a point where we get angry, that we need to have some type of self-control. We need to have some type of self-control. You know the best anger you can have? Have anger against sin. That's the best anger we can have. Be angry against sin, not with one another. Go ahead, brother. Wow. I don't know about that, brother. I'm not going to agree with that, but wow.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And I told my wife that is the most important or one of the most important things. You put it in place.
Here's the thing, right? When it comes to anger, right, and say you're angry with somebody and you're keeping it inside, right? Now, the person that you're angry with probably don't even know that you're angry with them. Yet, you are holding it inside, and you're losing your own salvation with the person who don't even know that you're angry with them. You see how foolish that is? Right? So the thing is that when we are angry or it gets to a point, we should be able to have a relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, right? To be able to come to them and tell them where they're wrong. It reminds me, there's a couple examples actually in the Bible, right? You can go to Galatians chapter 2, right? In Galatians chapter 2, what did Paul do in verse number 9, what did Paul say to Peter? He confronted Peter because Peter was wrong, right? Peter was wrong, right? And it was a situation where Peter, when they were eating dinner and the Jews showed up and Peter was actually sitting with the Gentiles, when the Jews showed up, Peter got up from the Gentiles and walked over and sat and ate with the Jews, right? Calling further division. And Paul called him out on that, right? Paul, there's nothing wrong with that. Or how about Peter when in Acts chapter 8, when it came to Simon the sorcerer, right? The point I'm making is, guess what? Peter and Simon the sorcerer, right? Both, right? Accepted what Paul accepted what Paul had to say about him. We know about that, right? And I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. Also, Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, right, asked Peter to pray for him, right? So we see that there's nothing wrong with correcting a brother, right? There's nothing wrong when a brother makes you angry, right? The thing is that we can't keep it inside. Go ahead, brother. Right. Right. And what, did Jesus ever get angry? Yes. Right. Anybody tell me what situation did we see Jesus get angry? There we go. Right. The money changers. Right. John chapter 2 and verse number 13. Right. We see that Jesus got angry. So it's human nature to get angry, but we can't let it get to the next point. Our next point is what? Wrath. All right, that's the next step up from anger, right? You're angry, but now that wrath is coming, right? Oh, you about to feel me now, right? I'm angry, so you're going to feel my anger, right? That is wrath, right? It's the next step up from anger, right? It's the explosion part, right? Where you just go off, right? It reminds me of something like road rage, right? Somebody cut you off. You're angry, right? And you just go off, right? So we see that wrath is the next step from anger. Turn with me to, let's go with James. James chapter 1. And verse number, let's see here. James chapter 1, I want to say verse number 19. And verse number 19 and 20, Brother Obed, you can get that, read that for me, please.
So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
That's right. When wrath come about you, you don't lost all control, right? Your control button is gone, right? You're out for blood, right? You really want to act on that anger, right? And we know that when it comes to wrath, every time we talk about wrath, in the context of man taking on wrath towards another individual, is sinful, right? It's sinful. We let God deal with that. You know, that's the only person, that's the only being that should have some type of wrath, right? Let God deal with that. Go ahead, sister. Can't put it back in. Right. Right. And the thing is that we can't put that back in. So. I need to write that one down. Right. So we have to understand that, you know, each and every one of us, right, we have even relationships, our marriage relationships, right? We have relationships at work. We have relationships here, right? And guess what? We're all cut from a different cloth. Each and every one of us, right? Each and every one of us have our pet peeves and the things that we have that I'm pretty sure those who have been married for a long time, right? It's days that you probably look at your significant other like, really? You know, just think about that, right? Like, really, right now, this is what you're going to do right now. You know, so they're over there laughing, right? So we see, but we can't let that get out of control, right? We can't let our anger turn to wrath, right? Because once that wrath happens, it explodes. And now we're in a sinful situation, right? Now we're acting, right? But there's another step. There's another gear on this one, right? We're going to go to what's the next one? Malice. Oh boy, malice. Can anybody tell me what malice is? Okay. What's that? Okay, deep hatred. Okay, wanting to get even. Okay. Brother Joe. Man. Hey, everybody pray for him. Man, what? Sister, what'd you do to him today? Why? Yes, brother.
Mark and I went to her 59 years.
I know, right?
We were there 59 years. And what time?
Wow. They're letting all their secrets out now, right? So we see that when it comes to malice, right? When it comes to malice, malice is the plotting of it, right? You're going to get even now. Now, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get you. Right. Like the sister, she probably like, OK, I'm going to put some of your food, you know, something like that, right? Right. But it's the plotting of it. Right. Just think about Jesus. Right. Think about Jesus. What did the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what did they use? They used malice because they were plotting on Jesus. They were always trying to do what? Trip him up. Right. They were malice towards him. Right. They were using malice. They were being conniving and scheming and trying to trip him up. Right. So we see that in a road rage, if we want to use that scenario, that's the part where you say, OK, I'm going to pull up beside him or I'm going to pull in front of him. I'm going to hit my brakes. You know, that kind of thing. You're plotting. Right. You're plotting. So we see that everything is building on each other. First, we got anger. Then we got wrath. Then we got malice. Right. But can anybody tell me what is blasphemy? Okay, go ahead now. Speaking evil of others, and not only others as in man, but also speaking evil of who? God. Right? Speaking evil of God. You know who had a good reputation of this? The Apostle Paul. Right? Turn with me to, let's go to Acts chapter 9. Right? Acts chapter 9. In verses 1 and 2, Brother Obey, when you get that, can you read that for me, please?
Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked...
So we see Paul was breathing what? Threats, right? He was talking he was talking bad not only about the disciples, but he's talking bad about the Lord's church. He was after the Lord's church. He's prosecuting the Lord's church. He gives more detail, right? Let's go with me to Acts chapter 26, Let's see some of the things that Paul did. Acts chapter 26. Not only did he blaspheme, right? But Acts 26 and verse number 11. Brother Obed, when you get there, can you read it for us, please?
And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Mm. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities.
Think about that. Paul did not only blaspheme himself, right? But he punished others to make them blaspheme as well. Right? Think about that. This is the great apostle Paul. And he did these things. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we say. We really do. We have to be careful what we say. All right? Because the tongue is a very powerful weapon. Very powerful. So we have to be careful when we speak about each other that we're not blaspheming. Right? We're not blaspheming. And not only blaspheming with each other, but blaspheming against God. We have to be very careful of that. Paul himself talked about how he did it and talked about how he got others to do it. And I think I have some scriptures up there that y'all can write down and you can study yourself, right? What about filthy communication? Let's get and try to finish these last two. What about filthy communication? Right? Filthy communication. We have to understand, we have to watch our language, right? We're not part of this world. Have anybody ever noticed that when you watch TV now, the words that they can use now, it's just ridiculous. It's crazy. Words that would be, when I was a little kid, would be taboo you hear on TV. The only time you hear it is on cable TV. But no, we're talking about just regular broadcast TV. And they're using filthy language. Commercials too, that's right, commercials too. Turn with me to, let's go with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. And Brother Obey, can you read that when you get there for me, please?
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
That's right. Watch the company you keep. Watch the company you keep. Everybody ever study Peter when he cursed Jesus? When he cursed when Jesus when guess who he was around, right? He was around those people that captured Jesus. He was in bad company. It got so hot for him that he ended up cursing and denying Jesus. So you got to watch the company you keep because you would end up cursing, right? Those things can't rub off on you. Watch the television you watch. Watch the music you listen to. Because these things will seep inside you and you may end up saying some things that you don't want to say. Right? Or you may be angry and say some things you don't want to say. And the last one we're going to talk about is lying to one another. Why is that so important? Why is not lying to one another so important? What's that? There you go. Right? If I lie to Brother and Cecil, that can lead to Brother and Cecil being what? Angry. That can lead to Brother and Cecil being what? Showing his wrath, right? That can lead to Brother and Cecil plotting on me, right? With malice. You see how that works? We should never lie to each other. Right. Not only that is that we lose credibility with one another. Go ahead, brother.
So it also has the sense of hypocrisy where you make the person.
Right. So, you know, especially in situations where, you know, there's been issues but between you and another person. Don't be fake about it. And hold that in your heart. Right. Because that's being a hypocrite. Then you're in another category. You see how that works? All of these things are contagious. So we all need to make sure that we practice self-control. Anybody have any questions? I'm sorry, we went over about 2 minutes. Sorry, Sister Frost. We went over 2 minutes. But do anybody have any questions or comments? What's that? Okay. That's right. So we see that, you know, one thing that we learned, if anything that we learned tonight, church, anything. I want to say before we go, anything that we learned tonight is that Brother Joe liked to kill people. All right. Sorry. No, but let us.
Don't lie to Joe.
Right. That's right. Don't lie to Joe. Right. Right. So let's close out with a word of prayer.
Brother, I used to.
Used to. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for first of all allowing us to be here and to study another portion of that word, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we are able to gather here amongst each other, Lord, and being able to read that word, Lord, and to apply it to our lives. We ask and pray, Lord, that you strengthen us, Lord, and that we take these things to heart and apply it to our lives, that we don't give in to anger, wrath, malice, lying, blaspheming. Lord, we ask and pray that you be with us, Lord, and that we fill our hearts and minds with thy word, that we don't allow these things to seep in. We ask and pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us, Lord. Strengthen the Franco family, Lord. We ask and pray that you continue to be with them. Bless our dear sister Frost, Lord, her grandson, Lord. We ask and pray that everything will turn out there, Lord. We know that you are the final word, Lord, and that we ask and pray that you just put your healing hand on him. Lord, continue to watch over us, the Clemens family, Lord, and the Rezo family, Lord, and Karen and Johnny, Lord. We ask and pray that you just be with them, Lord, and to strengthen them up, Lord, and that they may lean on us, Lord, for encouragement, Lord, and that we may take their hand, Lord, and continue to lift them up. We ask and pray that you continue to be with us and forgive us when we fail thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.